aqui.
Hey,
Carl, it's been a while, man.
Yeah, it's been a whole week.
It has been.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. Welcome back to another edition. Yes.
Welcome back to another edition of the Puck Rambles podcast. Yes, sir. It's over. It's done. It's finished. Finito, buddy. The season has come to a close. The Chicago Blackhawks are the winners of the Stanley Cup, which means...
shocking everybody in the hockey world.
Yes, shocking every single person in the hockey world, but also means that now every single team in the NHL is up for the cup.
Yeah.
I love this time of year because my team is in the running.
Yeah, what did you get a chance to see the odds, the Vegas odds?
I do have the odds for Stanley Cup this coming year. The Blackhawks are favored, shocking, 6-1.
Yeah, another shocker. Uh-huh.
Followed by the Rangers at 8-1, the Ducks at 8-1, the Lightning at 10-1.
The Rangers, really? Okay.
I don't think the Rangers is a good bet right now. Also followed by the Kings at 10-1. So the Lightning and the Kings are tied.
That's the Kings, that's the team that didn't make the playoffs, right?
I believe they're the team that didn't make the playoffs. Yes.
I love that. They don't make the playoffs and yet everyone knows they're gonna come back, and it's just like it's like an advantage, right? So it's like, well, you know, they got the rest they needed, so they'll be back at it next year. Yeah.
The pressing question then becomes, who will be the worst team next year? According to Vegas odds, who do you think?
Like a bottom three? Arizona's still got to be there.
Yep.
I'm going to say Carolina.
Carolina, very nice. Good. Very good. And... good guess.
Oh, that's a tough one.
You don't know between the two. That's got to hurt Leaf Nation, buddy. That's got to hurt
Leaf
Nation.
Is it Toronto? Yeah, I guess it would be, isn't it?
It is not
Toronto. It's not. Okay.
It's going to be Buffalo.
Again. Yeah, yeah.
With Jack Eichel. Again, underrated. I believe Jack Eichel is underrated.
Yeah, he is a little bit. I think, you know, he's not as good as McDavid, and that's not a bad thing, you know, right? Because McDavid is so good. But, yeah, Eichel's a pretty damn good hockey player, for sure. And that's probably not the worst thing in the world for that franchise, to finish near the bottom again, you know? In the long run, that's going to be great for them.
If they win the draft again next year.
Or if they bottom out and get second again.
if they lose the draft again next year. That would kill, that would be very Buffalo.
It would be.
So the beauty of this time of year is we get to look ahead, and no point talking about Chicago. We all know they're good. We all know they're gonna be good, and blah, whatever. Rumors are that, well, let's talk a little bit about Chicago.
Yeah, we got it.
Rumors are that Patrick Sharp is on the trade market, and they're asking, I believe, the moon and your firstborn, perhaps your draft picks for the next 17 years, I think.
Yeah, I mean, essentially what they're asking for is, you know, like a first-round pick. That's a given.
Sure, that's reasonable. Okay, reasonable. Sure. Reasonable.
Then they're looking for an A-level prospect and...
wait, what? An A-level prospect?
And... a top 6 forward on their entry level contract. So basically what they're asking for is give us a first round pick, a top prospect, and a younger Patrick Sharp for a 34-year-old Patrick Sharp.
For 3-1, basically. Yeah. They're asking for three younger Patrick Sharps at different stages in their career.
Yeah.
One that's already a top 6 forward, so Patrick Sharp when he enters the Hawks organization. One before he enters the Hawks organization, when he was in Philly, and one when he was still being drafted. Yeah.
Ridiculous. I mean, when you look at this, doesn't this sound... this is getting more into like Phil Kessel territory and not a 34-year-old Patrick Sharp.
I don't understand why they think that that would be a reasonable suggestion.
Especially, you know, 3 cups in 6 years. No one is going to be, you know, jumping to do these guys any favors, right?
Exactly.
That's just, you know, I mean, okay, sure. They're going to start it off high. And they're probably hoping, you know, all you need is 2 teams. You get 2 teams at it. 2 teams might be desperate. 2 teams that are maybe right there like a New York or maybe like someone. But
the only problem is that it's Patrick Sharp who did nothing when he wasn't paired with either Taves or Husa. Yeah. If he wasn't paired with a top-notch player, he wasn't doing anything. So put him on a team that doesn't have one of those top-notch players, and he's not going to do crap all.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he will not do crap all, as opposed to not doing crap all.
Yeah, I'm with you. So again, you know, give us a younger Patrick Sharp, a first-round pick, and an A-level prospect. It just doesn't. It's insane. They're not going to get that.
Do you think he's worth a number one pick, a first rounder, just on its own?
A late pick. Like I'm talking 28, 29,
30. That's how ridiculous that offer.
But that's what I mean. Like when I look at this, I'm thinking, okay, now you got the conversation started for Phil Kessel. This is not a Patrick Sharp. This is not what you get for Patrick Sharp.
You're much closer to getting that for Phil Kessel than you are for
mm-hmm.
Patrick Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
He's younger. He's better.
Yeah, exactly.
Costs more though. He costs more, but you can retain some salary.
Yeah, well, that's where the negotiation comes in, right? That's where the kind of give and take comes in, where it's like, all right, look, we'll do this, but you got to eat some salary. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's insane. They're not going to get that. It'll be interesting to see what he gets or what Chicago gets, because you know, all signs, you know, are pointing to him. He's gone. He's going to be the guy. Oduya is not coming back. And, you know, we'll see what else happens there. We'll see what kind of contract they're going to give Saad. But Sharp is definitely gone, for sure.
Well, Oduya did make some money off these playoffs, though.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He'll be fine. He'll heal up. You know, he's still got a couple of good years of hockey left. And that was a good pickup for them, you know, from Winnipeg a few years ago. That was 2012-13, I think it was, and he's been really good for them. Good soldier.
He fit a lot better on the Hawks than he did.
Yeah, just slightly. Yeah, yeah.
Since we're talking about UFAs, let's talk about, there's a whole bunch of UFAs available this year. They're not that great, but the RFA market is looking good this year. Not everyone, of course, is worth an offer sheet, but I'm going to throw a few names at you and tell me if they should be offer sheeted or traded for.
I just say yes to everybody. Everyone should be offer sheeted. I want to see it.
But the problem is, yeah, I want to see it too. As a fan, I want to see it. But the problem is, if that team has the cap space to match, it's not really worth offer sheeting them and causing a bit of a ruckus within your ties.
No. That's an ultimate just... basically a dick move. Yeah, you can't do that.
But okay, so offer sheet or trade. So trade for him or offer sheet. Got it. I'm going to give you four players. Brandon Saad, Dougie Hamilton, Vladimir Tarasenko, and Alex Galchenyuk. All from Chicago, Boston, St. Louis, and Montreal, respectively. Mm-hmm. Offer sheet or tradable? Brandon Saad.
That's someone I think you'd have to pry out of their cold dead hands.
sure, but he is worth an offer sheet.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by then offer sheet or tradable? Do you mean you try to trade for him or you offer sheet him?
Is it worth trying to trade for, or is it worth offer sheeting?
Oh no, definitely worth offer sheeting. I think him. He's 22.
They're up against the cap.
He's already got two cups, right?
Oh man, he is. And I'm not sure if he was in 2 years ago.
Yeah,
was he?
I think he was 2013. He was.
Well, he wasn't much of an impact player at the time.
No,
but he is
as a rookie.
Year.
He was playing on the top line.
Oh, yeah. Take it back.
I don't know how. I can't remember how great he was in the playoffs, but I do know as a rookie he was playing on the top line. He worked his way up there real quickly. I think you offer sheet that guy for sure.
And Chicago was up against the cap. It is prime for the mm-hmm. taking. Just to put him in that precarious, you know, disposition where they'd have to match and then have to trade more than just Sharp.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because what are they going to do? They're going to do like 8 million probably, right? 7 to 8 million. That would be the offer.
Oh, is he worth 7 or 8 million?
But that's
million?
What it would have to be, right? Otherwise you're just
offer sheet.
Otherwise you're just essentially signing Chicago.
But is he worth 7 or 8 million? I don't know if I'd offer sheet him for 7 or 8 million.
Well, what do you think Chicago's going to give him?
Oh, there's nobody like Phil Kessel territory.
But there's
again.
Nobody like him at 22.
Right.
Think of another player in the league right now at 22 that is as valuable to his team as he is, and is that good? you know? Yeah. I mean, and already has two cups.
He plays that game,
and
he too.
Plays that game, and you know, okay, so Brandon Saad, you know, Kadri is 24. No, not that player. Huberto, not that player. Not Brandon Saad. You know, Nyquist. You know, Nyquist on Detroit, he's 25. He's not that player. Who else? You know, Galchenyuk not that player.
No, Galchenyuk's not even close to being that player.
You know,
but he's not the same type of player anyways.
No, though. I mean, Tyler Toffoli. Now we're getting a little bit closer, actually.
Way lower on his skill scale than Brandon Saad.
He's got a cup. Yeah, 23 goals, 26 assists. Very similar numbers, but there's just really nobody like Saad.
Dougie Hamilton, how about him?
Yeah, I think that's another guy you'd have to offer sheet, especially with Chara aging and Boychuk is gone. Soderberg is going to be gone. Oh, no, he's not a defenseman.
He's a centerman,
He's a centerman, yeah. So, yeah, I think you'd have to as well.
Yeah, they're pretty much up against the cap also.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of wiggle room for them. If you offer sheet in him, it would push them again against the cap. They're going to have a hard time with Dougie Hamilton anyways. He's definitely worth offer sheeting.
Yeah, and you think Edmonton, you know, with Shirelli over in Edmonton, like, he knows exactly what's going on there with the money, where they are against the cap. He's going to know where they are, not only
so
now.
So true. Edmonton should totally offer
you know what I mean? But he knows where they are.
And what a move that would be by Shirelli.
Oh, it'd be such a coup, wouldn't it? And he, you know, he knows where they are not only now, but in another year or two. I mean, he knows everything that's going on over there, so... yeah, it'd just be fun to see.
Mint.
I'm just a big fan of the offer sheet. It
and
doesn't
a big
happen.
Fan of, big fan of a guy getting fired and screwing his old team,
yep,
too.
Yep.
Okay, moving on. Tarasenko of St. Louis. Mr. Breakout last year. Offer sheet or tradable? The problem with Tarasenko is St. Louis has cap room. Plus, they're thinking about getting rid of four or five of their core players, which means that they're going to have more than their cap room available.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, what was he making? He was like 1.75 million, right? So, I mean, you go up to like 7 or something with this guy. I mean, you don't need to go massive
insane
for this guy.
You're saying 7 again.
Yeah.
It's insane that you're saying these numbers.
I don't know what it's going to be for him. I'm saying if you went up that high, like, you're not going to go any higher than that.
This is why you got to bridge guys.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, you do have to bridge guys, but this is not a...
But you think just to keep him long-term now and not... So if you don't bridge him, that means you're going to go long-term and you're going to go at 7?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what they're going
to
get.
Bridge him. And then what are you going to... If it's going to cost you 7 to go long-term, you got to bridge him.
Well, if that word gets out there, then you would expect an offer sheet to come his way, right?
Well, then St. Louis can match that.
But there's some guys that just, you know, I'm just, okay, sorry. Like, Edmonton, we know they don't do anything right yet. Hopefully that's going to change, but they don't do anything right.
They offer sheet a guy.
No. What I'm saying is...
Dustin Penner, buddy.
What I'm saying is there were no offer sheets for Hall or Eberle or the Nuge or any of those guys, right? They just went straight to the big bucks. And Tarasenko is a better player than all those guys.
True.
So, you know what I mean?
Well... Still, I don't know, Hall is still up in the air.
Tarasenko is a better player than Hall.
They're different.
Yeah, and I'd rather have Tarasenko on my team.
Sure, that's a fact. But I don't know if Tarasenko is a better player than Hall. Better hockey player than Hall.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Hall is actually a very, very, very good hockey player. Yeah, he's just, it's tough to see on that team, but yeah.
True, yeah. But he's going to be top 3 left winger in the league in the near future.
Tarasenko?
No, Hall is a left winger.
Hall's a left winger. Tarasenko's a right winger.
What I'm saying is Hall's going to be top 3 left winger in the league pretty soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty soon when 97 shows up.
Which is next year.
Yep.
That's pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they screw that up also.
Yeah.
Because God knows, they just fired their entire scouting staff.
They did. And they probably got fired because it's like, what do you think of this Mitch Marner guy at number 1? I'm just throwing it out
Mitch
there.
Mitch Marner? Who's that?
Just throwing it out there, you know? We'd catch everyone by surprise.
But you know that's what happened, right? You know that they were sitting around a table and Chiarelli comes in and just goes, come on, guys, what do you guys got? Brief me. And then they just turn around and just spew out garbage.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, a little background, right? Most of how many were fired? So Edmonton scouting staff. The entire, what is it? Well, yeah, I don't think it was the entire,
no, but it was three or four. Their top amateur and pro scout were fired, plus two more amateur scouts.
Yeah, and one of the guys that he's been there for about a decade. For about 10 years, yeah. So
a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. But whatever, I mean, you're right. I mean, they're sitting around the table, and I'm sure it was either Bob Nicholson or Shirelli or McClellan or all three of those guys just listening to this and just saying, get out. Just get out. Like, that's all you got? I mean, because what do they do? They probably were like, you actually wanted us to do something other than McDavid? You know, like, I thought we could just pick McDavid like, and take the rest of the summer off. Like, go head down
McDavid,
to Mexico.
McDavid, McDavid, isn't it? Yeah. All we need to do is pick first overall, and then we're done with the draft, aren't we? Man,
yeah. So, yeah, they're not happy, and they're gone.
Okay, so those RFAs were the top three that I had. I'm gonna run off a whole bunch here. Tell me which one out of these would you be willing to trade for if they were put on the market, okay? For your own team, the Detroit Red Wings, or any team out there. Alex Galchenyuk, Braden Holtby, Derek Stepan, Nazem Kadri, Jonathan Huberdeau, Gustav Nyquist, Mika Zibanejad.
Zibanejad,
yes, off Ottawa. Justin Schultz, the college UFA that was signed by Edmonton a few years back, and Tyler Toffoli off LA. Which one of those high-value RFAs would you love to see your team trade for?
The last one he said I really like. I like Tyler Toffoli a lot. He's a bigger kid, plays a great game, scored 23 goals last year. Just a wicked wrist shot.
He's going to be hard to pry off LA.
Yeah.
They are tight against the cap, though. They are very tight against the cap.
Yeah, he's fun. And he's young. He's 23, right? Yeah, so I like him. Nyquist, whatever, he's going to be there anyway. Huberdeau, I don't know. I sort of need to see more of Huberdeau. I haven't seen him play a lot. And I don't know if it's a Florida thing or not, because I have watched a lot of Florida games, but I don't know. Right now, I don't know how good he is now. Like, I know he's good, but he doesn't necessarily stand out. Like, that list that you just gave me, that group you gave me.
Yeah.
I mean, neither does Nyquist. Nyquist is a pretty one-dimensional player himself. But, you know, Huberdeau, I don't know. I don't know how he stands up against those other guys.
It's interesting about Huberdeau because he came in with so much fanfare. Mm. And then, what, 2 years later, he's kind of dropped off. He had a bit of a sophomore slump. Got back on a wagon when Jagr came along.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's playing with Jagr and Barkov now. And he is coming along a little bit. But he hasn't been the top-notch player that they figured he'd be being picked third overall in that draft.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And Galchenyuk, he's fun. Wow, he's making $3.2 million to Brandon Saad's $890,000.
Yeah, but Galchenyuk was third overall. Brandon Saad wasn't, right? Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the problem with Galchenyuk is supposedly, rumor is that he refused to play center last year. He was put in that position. He asked the coach to be put back to left wing. Mm. And that's a big no-no.
Yeah, for sure.
If he's not gonna be a centerman, he's lost tons of value for the Habs.
Yeah, well, as you said, especially for a guy that went third overall, I mean, you should be able to play center at some point, right?
He's got the skill set for it.
He should be. Yeah, he does have the skill set for sure, and he's gotten a lot stronger. So hopefully, he'll get there soon.
Well, hopefully next year. Hopefully on the season opener in a few months.
Yeah, for me, that and whole group you said, I don't know. I just sort of. I really like Toffoli a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think I would lean towards him.
Another player that seems to have dropped off quite a bit is Justin Schultz. He was such a coveted player coming out of college, and he's done nothing with his defensive game since he's been in the NHL.
Yeah, it's probably a combination of a lot of things. I mean, obviously being in Edmonton, there's no one on the back end there. He's probably not getting any sort of like that much needed mentorship, you know. You look at a lot of blue lines across the league, and like look at Seth Jones. I mean, he has a Weber there, a Yossi. He's got other guys, you know. You look at a Subban. He had a Markov.
Seth Jones is surrounded by the best defensive core in the entire league.
Yeah, you look at a Subban. He had you know, he's got Markov. You go back to LA with Toffoli, you know, you got Doughty, all these guys, but there were older guys on the blue line that were good as well. And Justin Schultz, there's nobody there. There's no one there to teach him really how to be successful in this league and how to get better and how to hang, you know, just to hang. Like, he can't even really do that.
But to me, it also goes to, like, how about spending a bit of time in the AHL, bud? Because you never learned how to play this game at that level.
And again, that just goes back to Edmonton, right? Where there's just...
It goes back to Edmonton. You're right about that.
There's totally no personnel right there that allows them to do that, you know? Because he's really just... That's the best they got. You know, when Draisaitl last year is their second line center as an 18-year-old, like, that's insane. Like, they, you know... And again, this is probably why all those scouts are fired, because it's like, yeah, you got us the top picks, but that's easy, right? You got us like all these lottery picks. That's the easy part. You know, where are the guys in the second, third, and fourth rounds that are coming up? They're just not there. They're not there at all.
They're really good with their first overall picks, though. Usually.
They've been pretty good, I think.
Well, I mean, they're hitting 50-50. They did really well with Hall. Although Senge would look really good in Edmonton jersey, though.
Yeah.
Hopkins is pretty good, or maybe Langeskog would be also an amazing player on Edmonton.
Yeah.
So they're hitting 25% on the first overall picks. Hopefully this McDavid kid can come through for them.
Yeah, we'll see what he's got. We'll see what he's got.
Another RFA that's kind of interesting is Nazem Kadri.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the year that he finally takes the reins and becomes a bona fide at least number two centerman, where he gets at least 60 to 70 points?
I don't know if he will get those points with Babcock there, because Babcock's going to say, yeah, turn around and there's 100 feet behind you that you also have to cover and take care of. And so that might affect his game a little bit. Like, ultimately, it's going to make him a much better player. But no, man, he's going to have to play this whole 200-foot game, and he's going to be held accountable each and every night, you know, and that's... Those are words that we kind of hear coming out of Toronto all the time, but no one really ever is held accountable at all. But with Babcock there and under this sort of new regime, and Shanahan's obviously not taking any crap and he's serious, and, you know, it's going to happen, you know. So I think...
Or he's going to go.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I think out of all those players, apart from Justin Schultz, I think he is the one that's most possibly going to be... put on the trade market.
He could, but I think, you know, if you're Toronto, I sort of think, like, how long is this going to take? This is going to take, like, 4 or 5 years, maybe. And this guy might be, like, at the absolute prime of his career, and that's sort of the guy that you want to have around. Like, Kessel, you don't... Yeah, I mean, Kessel, go. Because, I mean, he's going to be on the wrong side of 30. By that time comes around, there's no need keeping him. Like, you know, get younger guys coming back. Kadri's a guy at 24. I think you want to have him around.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. I meant out of all these RFAs, he's the one that's most likely. I'm not saying they should.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm saying that out of all these guys, apart from Justin Schultz, he's the one that's most likely to go.
Yeah, when you look
around. I don't see Brandon Saad, Dougie Hamilton, Tarasenko, Galchenyuk, Holtby, Stepan, Huberdeau, Nyquist, Mika Zibanejad.
Yeah, the vampire.
Or Toffoli, like a vampire, all being even remotely close to the trade market.
Yeah.
But I see Kadri and Justin Schultz as, hey guys, you're on a team. You are on the team, but there's no way that number is anywhere near fully stitched on your jersey.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I'm totally on board with that, but I certainly get your point. But yeah, it definitely could happen. I mean, especially with Toronto. I mean, who knows how far they're going to tear this thing down? But you know, we'll start finding out in another week or two, I'm sure.
But I just think if he's a piece that could be added to a deal.
Yeah.
That would bring in something mint.
There's a lot of teams that would love to have
him. I don't see them having a problem adding him to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I see St. Louis having a problem adding Tarasenko to anything. Or Hamilton with Boston or Saad with Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, yeah. They're hanging on to those guys.
You know what? One RFA that's going to get paid this summer is Brandon Holtby.
Yep, and he deserves it. Big time. What was he, 41 and... 20 or something like that last year, had a great playoffs. Like, I think he and Lundqvist at one point, they were just 1-2, right? They had this ridiculous save percentage, like 940-something. And, yeah, he was great. He was great. Definitely deserves it.
You could have been his backup also last year.
Yep.
Probably. Nobody played.
Yeah. He played 71 games, right? I think there was one game he didn't play.
That game, they just didn't put anybody in. They just said, screw it. Let's just put another centerman in.
Hit the post, boys. Hit the post.
Yeah. Hit the post, boys.
Yeah. He's what's he at? Like 1 point. He's under 2 million. Like 1.85, I think it is. Yeah. And so, yeah, he's going way up. He's going to be getting what? Six? I mean, Crawford's got six.
He's in that six range. He's a guy who's in that six range because he is a starter and he is their starter and there's nobody else.
Yep.
Peters isn't competing with him.
And he literally is playing every game for them.
And he's got a manly beard growing.
Good beard. Really good beard.
And if that keeps going, it's going to be down to his chest. It's going to be a new chest protector. It's actually seeping past the outlines of his mask right now. It's going to look great next year. He's going to be competing.
They might outlaw it, man. You know, this goalie equipment getting too big. So it gives him an unfair advantage.
It's the beard. He's going to be competing with San Jose's caveman.
Oh, Brett Burns. Yeah.
Brett Burns.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
So that's it for our phase. Really, there's a few more, but, you know, these are the big guns.
Yep.
Let's move on to UFA crop. We're only a week away from the draft, or less than a week away from the draft now. Really looking forward to it. At least the third pick down. Going to see what's happening. I'm really looking forward to the trades. And there's a few guys on the market who have to get signed. And unfortunately, for any team who needs a UFA player this year, they're not of the highest quality. There's in the goalie realms, we have Devin Dubnyk and Niemi, Antti Niemi. Any of those two going to get a pay raise? Of course, Dubnyk,
yeah,
I'm guessing.
Yeah, Dubnyk for sure.
You know what he's asking for? He's asking mad money.
Oh, is he actually asking? What's he asking for?
Well, he's asking for Minnesota. He's asking over six, or just around six, or a little bit over six. And he's had, like, what? Half a year?
Wow.
Half a year? Wow. Makes a career now?
Yeah, and that was sort of the talk, right? When the season was winding down, and even in the playoffs was... What is this guy's contract going to look like? And I remember listening and reading to a lot of people, and a lot of people had the same answer where they were just saying, I have no idea. Like, I don't really know what his contract looks like because you just said it right there. It's a half a year. And what did he do before that in his career?
Exactly. He's a product of the environment he's in right now.
Yeah.
If you look at advanced stats on Devin Dubnyk, he is getting all high quality shots taken away.
Yeah,
he only deals with low quality scoring chances.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he's
opposite that was happening in Edmonton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not to cut you off, but at the same time, like, he is the guy that came in and gave them exactly what they needed and completely turned that
season
around, and it was like, wow, now this franchise, this club, is finally heading in the direction everyone thought that they would, you know, would be going in. You know, when Parisian Suter came on a couple of years ago.
But could Niemi do the same thing? Another UFA? You know what I mean? With those low scoring chances?
Yeah, Niemi could come in and lose to the Hawks 3 years in a row, just like Minnesota and every other goaltender, I'm sure. I don't know. I don't. Both of those goalies, man, I don't know. I look at those two goalies and I have zero trust in either one of them, to be perfectly honest with you, in the long run. Yeah. You know, for a season, great. Yeah, what Dubnyk did was amazing. He deserves all the credit in the world for bouncing back and totally and completely rejuvenating his whole career. I mean, this guy thought he was done.
So maybe
done,
a year.
Done. But
sign him for a year at that money then.
Yeah, exactly. If you want that money, look, then you're not getting any kind of term. You know, like you said, yeah, we'll give you a year. Yeah.
Okay.
And then go
defenseman,
from there.
Defenseman, we have Green, Franzen, Martin, and Beauchevin. Green from Washington, Franzen from a couple of teams. Last with Nashville, first with Toronto. Martin with Pittsburgh, and Beauchevin with Anaheim. All are UFAs this coming year.
Mm.
Some might be re-signed again with their own teams. I'm looking at Beauchevin, of course. Green's out, yeah, Franzen's out. Martin is supposedly out of Pittsburgh also. So any of these worth signing for you?
You mean like as a Wings fan or just for any team?
Well, as a Wings fan, actually, yeah, as a Wings fan, because you guys need some D. They're not this D, yeah, perhaps, but you do need some D.
Nope. I'd say no.
No.
Yeah. I mean, Detroit's problem is they have all those guys. They have an abundance of four or five defensemen.
So my second question then for you is, how much is Green worth?
Well, that's tricky. I mean, how much is he worth? How much is he going to get? I mean, I have a feeling he's going to get quite a bit of money. How much is he worth?
You think he's going? You think he's going to match his old salary?
I don't
think
he'll match it, but I think he's going to get five plus. Which is,
man, he's a third pairing, maybe a second.
I know,
pairing.
But you know the thing that
low second.
But pairing. The thing that's attractive about him is if you give him the favorable matchups and you put him on the power play, he's going to instantly make your power play better. And that's essentially what he is now. I mean, he's a special teams kind of guy. And so maybe that's what it's worth for different teams.
Can you afford to put that much of your cap towards a special teams kind of guy?
It depends on how much you value the power play, how much it means to your team's success, which obviously it's important to everybody. Everyone values it, but how much do you need it, you know?
But there's no guarantee he's going to be bringing you some power play points, though.
No. You don't, but I mean, if you look back on your year and say, like, wow, if we would have had this, and the power play was one of those things, then you might get that, you know. And again, it all depends on the cap wherever a team's sitting. But I could see him easily getting five for sure. He's probably going to get 5 to 6.
Are you going to give him six also?
I'm Oprah right now. I'm Oprah. $6 million for everybody. You get $6 million. You get $6 million. You get $6 million.
Well, this being the off season, I've got our first what if question. These are questions that are impossible. They're completely imaginary.
Yeah, we haven't had one of these in a while. Mm-hmm. I'll try not to muck it up here. Yeah.
So if the suits in the NHL, so all the brass, all the GMs mm-hmm. and their teams were available, were put on the UFA or the RFA market, whatever, they become free agents, which would you go after?
Wow. I think you got to start where the season left off.
You got to go with Chicago?
I think you look at Stan Bowman and, you know, his dad. and I guess
his Quendo dad comes with him too, eh?
But, you know, because they did this once before, right? I mean, after 2010, they sort of were up against the cap. They had to get rid of guys like Bufflin and Versteeg and Andrew Ladd and they managed to pull it together, right? Again, I mean, granted, and this is sort of the thing too. I mean, we're talking about, oh, dynasty, cap era, it's amazing. Yeah, it's very, very, very good. But let's not forget the Hossa, Keith contracts. That was the pre-2012 where it was the long years, front-loaded, back-diving contracts.
Very, very
that
lucky
the
to
loophole.
Have those on their bill.
Yeah. You know, and now you couldn't do that. You wouldn't be able to do that. And you know, with all due respect to Bufflin and Andrew Ladd, they're no Hossa and Keith, right? And
there
so,
isn't another Hossa but again, in the league right now.
No, there isn't. And so
maybe that's
you know, in
it.
A sense, yeah, they found the loophole. They did that, which is great. But the point is, they've done it, you know, already
True.
Once before, and we'll see if they can do
that's
it again
answer.
Because now they're going to have to get rid of guys like Sharp and Oduya's gone, and maybe Crawford somewhere down the line.
I guess
line.
A bit of an easy answer.
Yeah, so I would go them, and then also I look at a guy like Stevie Y.
Yes.
I mean, in 2011, there were, who's there?
Stamkos and
I
Hedman.
I think now it's just Stamkos and Hedman, that's it. So, I mean, he pretty much completely rebuilt
Not
his
pretty
team.
Much, he completely rebuilded that team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah,
he kept,
exactly.
He kept,
I mean,
top,
he, just,
he kept the top two draft picks, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, what I mean is that there were things in the pipeline there as well, right? Like in Syracuse and their AHL affiliate. But yeah, I mean, he put this team together for sure. I mean, he rebuilt this team in 4 years, and look, they had a pretty good final, and you got to think that they're going to be right there again next year. Maybe not the final, but they're going to make
they're
the playoffs. They'll be at top of the Atlantic, and they should be able to
one
put,
of the favorites.
They should be able to get a cup here, you know, in a couple of years. So that's where I'd start.
Those are two
right
good picks. Two good picks. Let's switch it up on you then. Which brass would you least like to have? And I'll have to say that when I was looking at this, it's a lot harder to pick now that Toronto has cleaned house, and so has Buffalo, and quite a few other teams have cleaned house. And
yeah,
it's a lot more difficult.
And Edmonton.
But there is,
yeah,
I believe, one or two teams that are just like, really? I'm not sure if that is the way to go. Do you have any in mind?
I do, but go for it.
You
go
I have two teams, one that might surprise people, but number one is Carolina, and number two is Pittsburgh.
Yep, I was going to say Pittsburgh. I'm right there.
And I think maybe the reason why Carolina is on the table is mostly because of the brass that is in Pittsburgh now. So I think I'm prejudging Carolina because it is Ron Francis there, and we haven't seen what Ron Francis is going to do. So it's a bit unfair to be...
And they're picking fifth, right?
It's still, I think it's a bit of an unfair pick on my part. But I am going to pick Pittsburgh Brass as probably the worst. Sorry, that's very, very strong. But I would say Pittsburgh Brass.
One of. Let's just say that they're in the bottom tier.
Which is unfortunate because they've got some of the top tier players in the world.
And it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy to think that 2008, 2009, back-to-back finals, they get their cup in 2009, and everyone in the hockey world is thinking they're going to be Chicago, except Chicago comes along and then Chicago does its Chicago thing. You know what I mean? They just completely came
in.
And
because Pittsburgh's done this, now everybody is thinking we might be Chicago, but we might be Pittsburgh. And that's what's going through Tampa's mind right now. And their fans, I think.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. The one difference being that there's Steve Yzerman there. And I think that's a huge...
But you had Ray Shiro there.
Who played in the NHL and won multiple cups and was known as the captain and did all that, right?
Oh! You're gonna play. You're gonna play that card.
No! I'm not playing the "you never played the game" thing before.
Because Bowman didn't.
No! But Bowman he stands alone. And are you gonna put Ray Shiro with Bowman?
No, but I'm gonna put Ray Shiro as a higher quality administrative guy.
But
right?
What I'm saying is, I think Steve Yzerman. I think. Being in Detroit, learning from Holland and Neil and those guys. And he also put together that team. Yes, he had Hedman and Stamkos, fell on his lap. But had he been picking, he would have picked Stamkos.
Are you saying because they have to be wider foolproof?
Not saying they're foolproof. I'm saying I would
They're more likely to be Chicago than they are to be Pittsburgh.
Maybe not three cups in 6 years, but I think they're more likely to be better for longer than kind of squandering a dynasty.
I probably agree. I'll agree with that.
And I'm as a Detroit fan, I'll be totally honest. I'm going to be completely biased when it comes to Steve Yzerman, but I just think he's also done a really good job there, and I think he'll keep it together. You know, and also they don't have the problem of supporting players like Pittsburgh does, and you look at. Tampa Bay, sorry, I can't even speak right now, but Tampa Bay still has players on the way. There are still guys from the AHL coming up that are going to be very, very good hockey players.
Yeah, high quality prospects are on their way too.
They just have a better team. Yeah, they don't have a Crosby, they don't have a Malkin, but they have a better team. And they have way more better supporting guys
I'll agree with
than
that.
Pittsburgh really ever had. You know?